shoot your podcast.
Yeah, like much of that is broadcast.
I can't think of any of it. Mate, it's just us bantering. We've got a drink, mate. We'll be here all day now.
Yeah. I'm not doing it. I'm not working.
Have you got any cranberry?
Oh, it's some CJ. We'll do this.
We'll
go to the shop and then we'll do another one.
Have I made that up that you like cranberry juice?
No, you've not.
I'm sure that it's like lurking in my subconscious somewhere, but I've referenced it a few times and you just sort of looked at me as if to say, hey, Dan, fuck off.
Vodka cran. It's a really cool drink, isn't it, as well, in trend, vodka cranberry juice.
Yeah, but cranberry amaretto is nice.
Do you want to try a vanilla vodka cranberry? I know you don't drink, but you could make an exception. It tastes like strawberry split ice cream.
Oh, really?
It's fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
It tastes like nothing to me.
I'll try that at some point. Yeah, well,
might as well be drinking fizzy water.
Nice. But it's getting you all up here.
Yeah, that's it. I'm happy Corona's cheap right now. Yeah. It's the effect and I have to pay for it. I spent £6 on 2 beers last night from the chocolate box. No cocktails.
Were they nice bottles?
Yeah, they were. Got home, poured it out, took a sip and thought, fuck, I've thrown my money away. Can't taste it.
But the bottles was nice.
The bottle was lovely.
Shame it's the three guys chatting shit.
Yeah.
That was so going to become over time. The intro is just going to get longer and longer. Right, let's do the proper intro and then we'll just carry on chatting.
Right.
Welcome to Pause It, Play It. I'm Josh.
I'm Matt.
I'm Dan.
Okay. Let's carry on talking shit.
Yeah, we just spent the last, 2 hours?
An hour and 46 minutes.
Shit.
Yeah. All unbroadcastable content.
Yeah. That's a tease.
As usual. what were we even saying?
Well, we are talking about number 4 today. That's probably the least cool way to refer to it. Number 4.
It's like Roman numerals 4, please.
Yeah, Roman numerals 4.
EP number 4, please.
How do you is it 4?
Yeah, I would say so.
It's not IV. Is it?
That's a good point. I've never thought of it that way. I've just been very to the point and thought, well, this is the 4th EP.
Yeah.
Let's call it number 4.
Yeah. I'm with you on that.
This feels again like something we should have researched.
What did Matt Healy mean when he decided to use Roman numerals?
He was probably just stoned. I think we're calling it before, lads.
We've obviously been fans, so we spend ages giving them loads of credit when they are just lads, though. They're just like, it could just be like, that's cool. Yeah, yeah. Why don't we do it in Roman numerals? Yeah. Roll another one, lad.
Yeah. I reckon it was probably Adam or Ross's idea to call it 4.
Let him have a turn.
Yeah, and then Matt and George are like, that's a shit idea, why don't we just call it 4? I bet we'll call it 4, George. Yeah, that's a good idea. I like
Better than Music for Cars as a name, I think. I don't like Music for Cars.
No, I think it's a real one.
I think it's a great concept, but I think maybe we should have discussed this last week.
In the Music for Cars. Yeah, it's nice continuity.
I think it's, I don't know, a little bit too concrete, a little bit too like real.
Yeah, there's not the room for your interpretation.
Yeah.
It's Music for Cars.
Yeah.
Music for cars to listen to.
In your car.
I like a bit more mystery, please, Mr. Healy.
Yeah.
Hook me up.
Well, he was listening and called it 4.
Ooh, why is it called 4?
Stay tuned to find out. We should say as well that we are socially distancing ourselves.
Oh yeah, it's Corona time right now.
Corona time.
We're drinking Corona during Corona time.
We're keeping it on brand.
Yeah.
Because imagine coming back and listening to this in like years' time. Like, what the hell are they on about? Yeah, so people in the world at the moment won't drink Corona beer because of the coronavirus.
But we will.
Yeah.
It's cheap.
Certainly. Well, it is in Lidl. And they stick it by the till as a constant reminder. I think mine was £9 for 12, which is very good value. Just in case you didn't know that.
God, imagine listening back in a few years' time and the exchange rate. American people are going to be, 9 for 12 quid? Oh my God.
Yeah. No
way. We were talking about shouting like the date out in songs, weren't we, in the last episode? That's what we're shouting at, like.
Exchange
timing,
rates.
Yeah, yeah. We're timing the podcast right now.
Oh my God. Have you listened to Our Good this week? What have you been listening to?
I've mainly just been shitting myself.
Well,
because of coronavirus.
Everyone's buying bog rolls, so you've, yeah. You've got enough.
Every time you ask that, I go into my Spotify Discovery Weekly and see what it's shown me, but I don't think I've discovered anything.
I've been listening to all sorts this week because...
You've been at
working? Yeah, I've been working from home, so I just have my headphones on. And I've listened to the Star Wars theme tunes. Well, that's not nice. Theme tunes, sorry. Soundtracks.
The scores.
Yeah. That'll do you while you're working from home, though.
Yeah. Batman Returns by Danny Elfman.
Danny Elfman.
Who also does the Simpsons music.
The Holiday, Hans Zimmer. It's a vibe.
I know, I've not listened to that, but I do like Hans Zimmer's work.
My wife walked down the aisle to that shit.
Really? Nice. That's cool. My mum... Zella. Shout out Zella, the energy. That's really good.
Phoebe Green, been listening to a lot of her this week.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah.
No. Damn, you've outcalled me.
No one does. Me and Dan saw her support Pale Waves at Sound Control.
I didn't remember that.
Oh, yeah. I was going to go to that, but I couldn't.
Yeah, and Jamie O'Ballen was there, and he was just stood a few feet behind us.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Because he did an Instagram of the Pale Waves gig, and we're pretty much...
Your heads are in the back.
Yeah, and we were gutted, because we were joking, weren't we, saying, oh, imagine if Jamie was here. Not that he'll come from London just to watch Pale Waves.
That was in the basement of Sound Control. I've only ever been in that once as well.
Yeah, it was. At least we can tick off every room. We've watched band in every room in Sound Control.
Every room, mate.
That's cool.
And now it's student accommodation.
I told you, but I listened to Glass Vegas' first album.
Oh, yeah, I've been listening to that as well.
So
inspired
good.
By you. Yeah,
so do you know it?
No, to be honest. No.
They're quite not an old band, but that first album came out a long time ago.
Yeah, I remember Radio 1 supporting them at a time.
Really? That was Radio... Oh, God, how different it was, like, over 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Las Vegas were getting Radio 1
airplay. Yeah, 100%, yeah, daytime.
Who would that have been? who would have been the DJ by then, on daytime?
Joe Wiley, Fern Cotton, Scott Mills, Chris Miles.
Yeah.
Not in that order.
Joe Wiley and Fern Cotton, that makes sense.
Miles, Joe, Fern, Scott, Radio 1. What?! You want to know about Radio 1 from 2006? I'll fucking hook you up. Zane Lowe after Scott. Yes.
Oh, yeah. And it was Colin Murray. Oh, is that further back?
Yeah, no, Colin Murray was great, yeah, after, yeah.
I'll be there when your hair stops beating.
Oh, my God, that's...
That's dated it as well.
Is yeah, he in the room?
That's just something...
I'll be there when your heart's happy.
A Colin Murray quote that I remember is just him saying, +44, I'll be there when your heart starts beating.
That was an amazing impression.
And he must have been like the Irish box sticker because he left and they got Phil Taggart on, who's similarly heritaged.
Yeah. should we do our feature of 1975 news? Yeah, and that people on the internet hate Matt Healy now.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Again.
I don't think it was that bad.
Go on, tell us what he said.
I've got a screenshot.
Matt, you read his tweet that he deleted this, and then people weren't very happy with what he said.
Yeah.
And it is as follows.
Stop telling people to support you. It's not very well punctuated. I'll start again.
I said that's why we're angry at him, because he's not using correct punctuation.
Stop telling people to support you. We don't want your EP and zine bundle right now, Laura. We're going to die. I think that's funny.
I think it's funny.
EP and zine bundle.
Zine? Yeah. You said the word zine is funny.
Yeah, it is. That's just even part of a sentence.
Fanzine.
Your EP and zine bundle. That is funny because that just really does summarise a demographic.
I don't think it was that bad, what he said.
No, I don't. I mean, I can see the humour in it. Like, I don't feel for a minute like that were his genuine thoughts. Stop trying to make money during these difficult times. He was just making a joke.
Yeah, I get, because the thing is people say is now that, like, you don't really want to do jokes when you're punching down. That's how they say it.
Oh, okay.
So,
because of his position.
Yeah.
Successful artist.
Yeah, yeah.
Millionaire, probably.
And then, like, people were sort of saying...
Dad's an Orvita Semper.
Well, yeah. And Benidorm.
Yeah, and Benidorm.
And, like, people were sort of saying, like, well, it's all right for you, you know, your disposition. Sneezing is not a symptom of coronavirus. but then also, like, it was just a bit of a joke.
But how shit is it that just because you've been successful, you can no longer make jokes?
Well, it happened.
Where does that leave Michael McIntyre?
But it happens to you see it a lot, especially on Twitter now, with like people that are sort of super famous, like Elon Musk. What, no matter what he puts, there are so many replies.
So much negativity.
Yeah. And like sometimes he will put stuff that he maybe hasn't thought through so much. Like he was the one where he was like, "We're gonna build a sort of like what was it? It was like sort of highways underneath cities to stop like traffic and all this." And people were like, "So you think you've invented tunnels and stuff like that?" He put some dumb stuff, but then the amount of like stuff that he tweets that just, you know, people just go over the top.
Yeah.
So I don't think it was that bad, and I'm not trying to say that because we want to be his friend, but.
Please add me on Instagram again.
Oh, yeah, he deleted you, didn't he, poor lad?
Right, okay, so today we are talking about what we're going to call 4, but it might be called IV. On, no, we're going to stick with 4.
Holy shit.
Intravenous.
Oh!
Not a great deal to say about the first track either. We've got it covered. I don't. What do you feel about this EP? Do you think it is just kind of like, to say the dregs makes it sound very negative, but it's like.
I don't.
Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's shit. But they've probably thought out like, okay, this is what's going on the album. Nice one. These are the tracks you got for the EPs.
I'm going to use that in day-to-day life. To say that this is the dregs, it's like not quite the right word. That's so sick.
I'm not saying I dislike the EP. I'm just saying they started off with this like, hope. We'll stick the city on again.
I think that is weird.
Everyone's already heard that. We'll stick something good on. Well, that alright song's alright, isn't it? We'll stick that on.
That is an interesting decision to put the city out again. I wonder why. What went through the minds when they did that? When it was all out, it was good. They must have known it was going to come out on the album as well. And they stuck it on there.
Maybe there's only 3 tracks on it, aren't there? So it was just a boost up to 4, I reckon.
See, I don't think it's as good as the Sex EP, but I think it's the most. It's my second favourite, you know. And I think it's the most complete EP.
Oh, okay.
Because I think the Face Downs, it's got a lot of like experimental stuff on it. Music for Cars has got 2 sort of ambient songs either side of like Chocolate. And I think this has got 4 really good songs on it, but one of which we have already heard before, so that is a weird.
Yeah, but it is a good song.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's slightly different, isn't it? The drums change a bit.
I think it might be... I think it might be because they knew it was going to be the first single.
Yeah.
So they were building more hype for it by putting it on the release before the album.
Yeah.
And they knew it was going to be the opening track to the album.
Did any of the songs have videos of this one? Because that's an interesting thing to see how seriously they took them or how, you know.
Yeah.
Because I don't think they did.
So you had I don't think at the time.
You had the city video where they were in the factory.
Yeah.
And then the city video. Let's look at the times. You can edit this to make it sound realistic.
There's a second city video.
But did that come out with the album as the first release from the album, or did it come out on this?
Yeah.
I've got to do the proper. I'm not even on it.
On a bit of a side note, though, does the city refer to the pub in the Northern Quarter?
If you want to find out. So, released 20th of May 2013. So. 6 years, 10 months ago.
Yeah, you know what? Actually, that whole intravenous thing has changed my view on what the album was called.
So you think you're going to call it IV from now on?
Well, I'm probably still going to call it 4. But I feel there's more artistry has gone into it now. I thought it was just like, yeah, we'll call it 4 because it's the 4th one. But now it's like, it's the 4th one, but also it's IV. Intravenous.
Dan, have you said what you think about the EP as a whole?
Well, I laughed at you calling it dregs. So, I don't know how you said that. Maybe it has gone down in my estimations. Because, yeah, the city, you are feeling that that's a bit of filler, really. We've heard it already.
We've heard it before, yeah.
Take the piss even more. You know they're going to hear it again. They certainly did when they released it. But I like the songs, mate, to be honest. I like So Far It's Alright. It's a real vibe, and I think it was a real moment coming out of the EPs, and he knew they were going to be famous then. And he was, I'll save it for when we get to that song. But yeah, I like it. I think it's a good EP.
Yeah, it is. Well, I'm as we've already established.
It's like Bob Marley was Train Guy.
By your cappuccino.
Dated this as well now.
As we've already established. I can't even think what the last track's called now.
Falling For You.
Yeah, that for me is the go for a wee, go for a beer.
Oh, as you say.
It's not, it's, you know, it's not that it's a poor song. It just doesn't tick the boxes for me. So for me, it's just about the two middle songs.
Yeah. Right, let's get into song by song. So as it starts with the city, and the city, I'm guessing, wait, let's have a look. The city is going to be in two episodes' time, given the way we're releasing these. Just for you, Maya's doing some air drumming.
No, I was playing the city.
For the great visual. I tell you, every podcast, there's always a visual joke, and someone always says, oh yeah, that's great visual content for the podcast. So we're on brand. Right, so the first song on the EP is The City, but we're not going to talk about that. So the second one is Horn Bed. So, Dan, what do you think of this one?
I think it's a vibey, ethereal, dream rock.
Dream pop.
Dream pop is that what it was?
Dream pop, yeah.
Masterpiece. No, I like it. Like, it's been a little weird going back and listening to all these songs, like... The EPs, to be honest, aren't on real regular rotation for me. Maybe like a song or two songs off each one.
Yeah, same.
So going back, I mean, it's been like, this is actually sick. It's pretty slow and chill. And
what's the BPM on it? Someone research that right now.
What was that BPM?
It's 91 BPM.
No, it's not.
It is.
No, I'm joking.
Which is, that's a...
It's slow. Yeah.
Good to walk to.
Yeah.
Not good to run to.
So yeah, it's very relaxed, you know, it doesn't really go anywhere. I think it's just like, it's almost like ambient background music, similar to Face Down, similar to Undo and stuff from the previous ones.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, of that theme. They're like a group of songs.
Yeah, I actually really like this one. I think it's one of my favourite ones in the more ambient electronic mould of ones they do. Like you said, you know, like Undo and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's more than just the sort of intro song, like intro set threes or something like that.
Yeah.
Or like Face Down. I think on this EP, what I think stands out more, and I don't know if it's because of the selection of songs on it or if it's anything to do with the actual recording of it, the vocal production's really good and it stands out as being particularly good on this. Like, there's affected vocals in Falling For You.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think when listening properly, it stands out that like the production values are there. Now, it's likely that they recorded all the EP songs in one go.
Mm.
It just so happens that these are the four that they put on where I'm actually thinking about it.
I don't know if they might have recorded them in order and got better and better and more into what they were
you
doing.
You would expect, but...
Because if they were on the road and stuff and it's all digital and... Do you know what I mean?
Were they in, like... 2012, 13. Well, early, 13.
I think they were.
Before the album.
Yeah,
they will be. It might be the case. And if they were.
I agree, though. It feels like progress.
Yeah.
And like they've developed the.
Because usually, when bands release EPs and they go like on and on, they do get better. But because Face Down was so good from the start. It's hard to go up too much until you get to like sort of professional studio level. Go on, Matt, what do you think?
I think it's been covered. I was listening to it on the walk up here just for the fans that are really keeping note. We're not recording this at my house today. and I listened to it on the way up. I thought, this is just a nice vibe. And I knew that Dan would also describe it as a vibe. but it reminded me of good background music. I don't know if that is a compliment, where it's the music fades into the background and helps keep you focused on stuff, but it's just that vibe, isn't it? It's just slow tempo, nice background music, it's vibey, it's ambient, very well produced.
I think saying background music undersells this song. I think it's more in... I'm just going to slightly rotate the microphone. I think it's more... I don't know.
But it doesn't, like, scream...
It's not. It's not a single, yeah, it's not a single. What do you think of the name?
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I mean, there was a time when the 1975 were only tweeting stuff with slashes and double letter spacing.
Yeah.
I think it's just the name just is allowing them to do that in the same title, isn't it?
It was the correct title for the time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That period of the artistry, but Haunt... //bed. It's not a good name. It's not catchy. No one's remembering that. It's almost as bad as If You Tolerate This, Then Your Children Will Be Next.
That's a bad song title. That's the main line of the chorus, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it is, but it's very...
That's the second Manic Street Preachers reference.
You're right, though. I think it's always reminded me of that, and I've never quite put my finger on it.
Which, I don't know if it still holds a record, but at the time it held a record for the longest title for a number one single.
Yeah, it's got to be. Well, I've passed that as Panic at the Disco had a number one.
No.
And Fall Out Boy.
There's a good reason these tables are numbers, honey. I just haven't figured it out yet.
I don't even like Manic Street Preachers that much. I'm just putting that in there.
No, that's a good song, though.
Oh, yeah, it is. If you tolerate this...
Then your children will be next. And we need to get down some pitch pipes.
No, by the time Josh has auto-tuned that, people will be like,
massive auto-tune.
What do you mean?
Why is a robot singing?
By T-Pain.
Like...
Sounds like Chewbacca.
Yeah, well, T-Pain reminds me of Chewbacca.
I can't name a single T-Pain song apart from I'm on a boat with one of
T-Pain is a that's fucking great. T-Pain.
Right, so lyrically in the song, it starts a bit dark.
Just a little bit.
I think it might be about someone whose dad's recently passed away.
I'm sorry that your dad is dead.
I feel like you're probably on something.
I've got a great insight into Matt Healy's mind.
I like the second line is, I hope you amend it. Like, well, if you've got an idea of how to amend death, write in.
To possiblyplayitpod@gmail.com.
But yeah, I don't think it's possible. But I do think I've... Oh, well, that I was going to lyrics then by accident. I think that the lines... I think I've lost a lot of my friends through belief that I'm an instrument. That's a cool statement.
Reading the lyric, like the lyrics as a whole, this is definitely one of the more interpretive songs. It's one of the more... What's the word?
Well, it's open to interpretation, isn't it?
What's the word? It's the more...
Metaphorical,
that is the word. Like, we said in the past that there's lyrics that are really, like, super descriptive. Like, even obviously the start, I'm sorry that your dad is dead. That's not very interpretive. But the rest of it, it's hard to... Like, there's parts of it where, you don't know exactly what the line is getting at. The belief that I'm an instrument...
Well, an instrument is used, isn't it? And then the next line is, oh, fuck me if you must then.
Yeah, but if I've lost all... I lost a lot of my friends through belief that I'm an instrument.
If you think about how So Far It's Alright's written, basically as if he's saying it to somebody, but if you know anything about the band, you know he's talking about himself.
Yeah.
And, I'm always open to the idea that, like, when he's saying, well, fuck me if you must then, it's actually like a girl helping him get over something or whatever. Do you know what I mean? Obviously, his dad's not dead, though. Tim's with us.
He certainly is.
I do like... Actually, another thing that they do lyrically quite a lot is that he'll sing lines that people... that is from the point of view of someone else saying to him.
Yeah.
Like, I like that. I'm really big on that.
Do you think the, well, fuck me if you must then, this is just, like, complete speculation. Do you reckon that's, like, a response to someone going, fuck you? Fuck me if you must then.
Be, yeah, yeah.
I can't, is this within my, they're really, like, the lyrics are really good, but it's just, it's very abstract, this one. But I suppose that does, the you know, musically is pretty abstract as well.
I like, so I insist on hard in your bed, it's like a bit of a change in, like, vibe, sort of a reveal. I can't exist with, and you can just seem like maybe with a girl and she's like, will you fuck off? And
yeah, like, yeah, like, it's a real, like, he's not welcome.
Yeah, 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 he doesn't feel welcome. It's nice. Well, it's awful, but it's a nice piece of lyricism.
Yeah. Must have done something right though if you got invited into the bed.
Spin car around, push your head down, down, down.
You know what, I feel like at that point, verse 2, it really steps up a notch.
Yeah,
yeah.
It becomes, I don't know if it, well, the vibe changes, it doesn't become more vibey, it's just a bit more poppy.
It's after it's when he starts singing the I'm Not Scared, that's when that sort of kick drum comes in.
Yeah.
And that's really, yeah, yeah, that's really like leading the song. That is actually just the real kick drum we've got far away, actually. Yeah.
That harmony, in the verse, what's the first line in that bit?
Sorry,
crashing into the ground with you, so.
Like, oh, okay.
Love that.
I like the synth. I don't know, it must be a synth that's like.
I think it's guitar, you know.
Oh, do you? Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's in a really effective guitar.
Yeah, with a swell on it.
Yeah, because you can hear like a slight bend in the note, and I think that's a string bending. Right, so shall we move on? We did think that when we were going to do this EP, that obviously we skipped the city because we're going to come to it. Hornbed is good, but there's not loads to say, really. However,
it's filler.
Next two songs. Well, I know that we're all of the opinion that so far it's all right. Is a great song.
Yeah.
It's so good.
It is the standout track of this EP.
Yeah. I think lyrically it might be the best.
Yeah.
The best EP, not just this EP, the best. Includes sex. Not including sex.
Yeah, not including anything that's on the album. We've skipped over that shit.
Yeah.
So EP tracks.
Just EP tracks. I think lyrically this is the best.
Great bass line. Or at least I think it is.
So good.
I like it as well because it's pretty clear to me as a songwriter that this song's lyrics first. And it's like basically give me a beat to sing these lyrics over.
But I love that because musically it's so different to other stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it feels like natural instruments. That's not the right word, but you know what I mean? It feels like it's real drum kit, real bass, and that weird sort of like glockenspiel xylophone sound.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
I can just imagine Adam in a corner, banished. Get in your corner, Adam. Just play your xylophone. He's like, okay, I'm sorry, man.
As the other guys all go to the pub.
Yeah, yeah.
Catches up ads.
But you know what I mean? Like, especially in comparison to Hornbed, which is all electronic sounds.
Mm.
And then you get this, and this is all like natural sounds.
Yeah, yeah.
Before we start, do you want to hear my anecdote about this song?
Of course. Duh.
No.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you for listening.
Go for it.
Right, so this is when I was like, God, this would be like 5 years ago. I was working this bar, right? It's like a Tuesday night, I'm setting the scene. It's like a Tuesday night, so it wasn't that busy.
Quiet.
And I just put a playlist on, which happened to contain this song. And I was just stood at the bar, making drinks, you know, singing along to myself, didn't think anyone was really paying attention. This couple sat in front of me. It's like, I'm about 60, this couple. And the guy goes, oh, what's who's this song by? And I was like, oh, it's by a band called The 1975. And he goes, oh, yeah, I thought so. My son plays the bass.
Ah, no way!
Yeah, yeah, and I was like, oh my God.
I think this is one of our love songs.
Mr. McDonald's!
I was like, nice to meet you, like, what do you say? And I was like, wow, yeah, so you're like, and he was keen to chat as well.
Yeah, yeah, let me tell you how proud I am of my son, why wouldn't you be?
Well, obviously, yeah.
Yeah.
And this was, God, this would have been before the first Manchester Arena gig.
Right.
And he was.
Oh, so this was. It's not like it had just come out this song.
No,
this
no, no. Like this, yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah.
So he was like, I think he might have said, like, oh, are you going the arena gig? And I was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And he was like, all right, yeah. Well, obviously, we all are, because it'd be a big deal, like all the family went. It was the gig where, I don't know if you remember, but Tim Ealy was stood in a box and he was like waving. Everyone was like shouting, yeah. So it was that gig. And we were chatting a bit, and he was there with his red wine, and we were chatting. And I don't know how he got onto it, but he was mentioning about the sound control gigs.
Yeah.
And this must be one of like the very early ones. And
I can assure you it was.
You were probably there, Dan. But,
absolutely, we were there.
No, like, by very early. I mean, he was like, yeah, so they weren't very happy with them, sound control. And the GM at sound control was like, you've got to practice for 1,000 hours before you come back to play here again. And apparently they went away and did.
Oh, shit.
Right. And then they went back and they were like, way better. But yeah, I couldn't believe it. You know, because I didn't, when the guy was like, oh, what song's this? Like, honestly, I just thought, he thought, this just in.
Prince Philip is still alive.
I was like, I didn't know what he was going to say. Like, even I said, oh, this is a EP track from the 1975.
Yeah.
Like, I can't believe he was like, oh, yeah, I thought so. That already put me off. And then when he goes, yeah, I'm Ross's dad. What? Well, that ends anecdote hour.
Which bar was that? Whiskey Jar?
No, it was, what's it called? It was Trafford Centre.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
That's it, that you got to choose a playlist, that.
Well, it was like a Tuesday. There was like two of us on. I'd be the manager on shift. And we just used to, just through the week, you just play a bit of whatever. So we had like a bit more of a chill of playlist.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just queued this.
Sick.
And then, yeah.
Are you a personal license holder then?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead.
I ain't got my wallet on me, but yeah. But yeah, so far it's all right.
Do we all agree that lyrically it's just a big fuck you? Check me out and my success.
Yeah. I think, yeah, it's... Shall we... Hang on, we're getting to the lyrics last, shall we, actually?
Yeah, we can do music. We've kind of covered instrumentation, haven't we? We've got a xylophone. Bass line really sticks out.
But do you think that was an intentional choice? That they were like, right, we've got... If we're under the opinion that we know what songs they were going to put on the EP and when, do you think they were like, right, we've got Haunt Bed, which is mainly electronic, we've got Falling For You, which is also... I'd say that's like entirely electronic as well.
Mm.
Do you think we'll have this? Right, okay, we've got something different. We've got the non-electronic instruments.
I don't know. It is that hard, obviously, for us to get into their mindset, because you could go with the thought that all these EP tracks were written and they planned it out, or that they were just writing them as they were on the go. And I think that is the case. I think they were just...
Dear.
Yeah, yeah. I think if they were all written and ready, Milk would have been on this EP. Or...
Why do you think that?
As an EP on its own. I feel like... which EP is it? Is it on the Sex EP?
Yeah.
I feel like it was just... They had that EP and like, oh, but this song's really good. We'll just well stick it on. But they want to stick with the theme that the EPs are four tracks long, so they stuck it on the end. Whereas with this one, The City is on there when it's not really needed to be, and they could have put Milk on instead.
That's a good point, actually.
Because Haunt Bed could have been the opener.
Yeah, it could. That's a really good point. Would this EP have been better had it gone Haunt Bed, Milk, So Far It's Alright, Falling For You?
Yeah.
It would have had Milk on it, so yes.
I don't know. I keep going back and forth on whether I think that they were all recorded together or they were all recorded in sequence.
I think this is separate to all the others. It's got a kit in it, right? Proper kit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, it's The City. Because if the City's a re-record, that's 100% a real drum kit.
When we're on about the progression of the ambient... dream pop music, that's I'd say this is outside of that. So I definitely think this was recorded separately. So like all the ambient-y ones I think have just been done on the MacBook basically, and they've just knocked them up.
Yeah,
but this I think you definitely need studio time to sort this out.
What about like Falling For You though? Because that goes into that ambient dream pop category.
It does. It's a little bit more to it, I think. But I don't know, maybe that's just because it's progressed so much, like we said about Home Bed.
Yeah.
It's like it just feels a better standard of production now.
Yeah.
Can you fake a that xylophone sound?
Yeah, you can
fake anything.
If you get,
I just would have thought that would have been played live.
It could have been, but if you get like a sort of super expensive keyboard with like the presets, yeah. Or like a plug-in as well.
Yeah.
Because you'd imagine like George would be like well on it.
Yeah.
Like the plug-in.
I can't imagine a xylophone is easy to mic up either.
No. Have you seen those people where they have like two xylophone sticks per hand?
Yeah.
And they play like four notes at once. That's insane. I think this is just two at once. So
yeah.
I could probably play this. You ready? You ready for some cold hard stats?
Go on.
Ready? I'm going to go to the stat corner.
Stato.
Oh my god. Welcome to the stat corner with me, Josh. It's not been played live since 2017.
That's a long time. For such
and it was
a good song.
It was only played live four times that year, and then it's basically been played live less and less since 2014, basically.
Have we heard it live?
I feel like we have.
Yeah, I feel like we have.
I don't think I have. Why do you think they don't play it? Because it's so good, isn't it?
It probably just doesn't fit into their current brand. You know what I mean? Like, as a touring band, you need to be. You really want to tour your current album because that's the work.
But
you're
they are
currently.
They are playing so, like. If you look at the current tour, though, it's a weird like amalgamation of everything.
If they're playing Sex Second, they're not giving the early work the respect it deserves.
But like, the other week they played Menswear.
Yeah, because I was going to say maybe it's a strange situation where it is a song that's definitely lyrics first, and so if people in the audience don't know it, they can't just vibe along to it. It's a bit slow for that, I think. Anyway, it's very repetitive, and if you don't know the story that he's telling, it's like
I get what you mean.
But if they're playing Menswear, that's exactly the same.
And they played Undo on this tour as well.
I mean,
out of those three, I'd much rather hear this. But I mean, sure, like obviously 1975 fans are like, they're gonna know all this shit.
Yeah, you'd expect so.
The fans aren't part time, so.
No, we're saying it like we're separate. Here we are. But
those people out there who don't make podcasts.
But if we watched them and we heard this, we would be like, oh my god, this is so good.
Yeah, we would.
But do you think, well, maybe like lyrically it's not necessarily, because it's very personal, I think, lyrically.
And it's smug, right?
Yeah.
Like that's...
Yeah. So do you think that the lyrics don't represent...
Like you said, it's not their current brand, is it?
No.
But did you mean lyrically or did you mean musically as well?
I suppose both. It's not something they've produced very, recently, so not necessarily something they might be a bit bored of it, maybe, but also that smugness gets you backlash on Twitter.
That's
what we've seen this week.
Like, it's the story of rich kids growing up.
Yeah,
like, and
basically.
It's, if you don't want to be known as a rich kid anymore, stop playing the song that's about you being a rich kid.
But people really don't like that. That's one of the reasons why people... They're pretty divisive to 1975. And one of the reasons is that I think people really don't like the fact that they were, let's be honest, quite privileged.
You can't buy talent, though.
No.
And that is undeniable.
There's someone in a band who will remain nameless because I respect them very much. But they, keep it genderless, they really don't like Matt Healy or the 1975. And one reason is that they think that essentially I've had handouts, and they've had sort of opportunities because of where from being a upper class suburb of Manchester, who Matt Healy's parents are, and the fact that they all almost have been pretty well off.
But I think you give that all those factors to many other bands, and they would not produce the quality of music that they do.
Yeah, I agree that there is, like, I think there's an argument to be had about people having these opportunities. Because when you go, like, because I go to Harrogate, so, and we do music stuff in Harrogate, and you see there, because that's a posh place, really. And we're from fucking Rochdale, you know. Yeah. But you see that even just, like, living somewhere like that, you just see, like, the difference in opportunities that you might have.
Yeah.
Just from the place you're being from is a bit more well off.
Yeah.
Than somewhere like this. So I think there's an argument to be had, but like you say, you know, you can't get this successful based on the fact that you had a bit more cash when you were younger.
No, wait, in fact, you've got... Because I remember people saying, like, oh, his mum's famous, and I was like, yeah, I don't think Denise Wells has too many hookups
with the music world.
In the music industry that could open you up to, you know, headline in Leeds and Reading last year.
Yeah. Just, imagine if she did, though.
Oh, can my son headline? Probably not. No. Like, you know what I mean? There's only real sort of fame and quality that can put you in that position, I think.
Mabel, do you know her?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, her mum's Nina Cherry, her dad's a famous producer. That is an example of someone privileged and using their parents' contact. Not that I'm saying she's shit, but I'm just saying that is an example of it.
But it's like, I mean, you know, you look at Will Smith's kids, they've both got music careers.
And they're shit.
Well, yeah, let's be honest.
I whip my hair back and forth!
Like, I know, like, what's the lad called? Jaden.
Yeah.
He's
the Black Matt Healy.
Yeah, he is.
That's from.
He does look like him, actually, doesn't he?
He does, yeah. You give Matt Healy a solid tan, and he's Jaden Smith.
But obviously, they've, you know, Will Smith, the dad, they've got record deals like that. But you know, really, what
Denise Welsh and
Tim Healy? How much sway have they got?
Have you seen that video on YouTube of Matt playing at one of Tim's gigs? Why would Tim be doing gigs? I don't even know.
He does play.
Yeah.
He's got a song on new album.
Right.
Tim Healy's singing one.
But, so there's a video of Matt Healy playing Hallelujah at his dad's gig.
Oh, do you know what? I feel like I have seen that, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Has he got, like, the classic 2002 mullet going on?
He's got an email for his to death.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the proper, like, Lego Man haircut. Yes. Yeah, I think I have seen it. Yeah.
I miss mine.
You remember when you got the arc? So one time, Matt, do you know this?
No, you won't know me at this point, but it was inspired by, what's the singer from?
Rue Reynolds.
Yeah, I know that's a guitarist.
That's a singer, yeah.
Is it all right? Yeah. It looked really cool, to be fair, like an arc.
Yeah, so it was a fringe. Yeah. And then it went, so the sides were long as well.
Yeah.
So, again, podcast content. But basically, it was Matt's fringe that went across, like, where the normal fringe would be, but then continued down, and the sides of his hair was long. So it was like one continuous curve.
Yeah, I mean, it could have looked good if it was well executed, but it wasn't. Oh. So it looked
It was a very hard haircut to get right.
It looked like I'd done it myself.
Yeah. Oh, well.
I mean, I've had some suspect haircuts, so...
Suspect's a great word.
So, lyrically, I think it's one of the best.
It is. Every line.
Maybe
that's an exaggeration, but...
Well, no.
Every line's good, worth critique and further thought.
It's just a total story. There's no, like, lines and bits of sections that are separate. It's all...
Yeah.
It's coherent. And you can go through it and, like, see it happen.
It's very personal and very descriptive.
Yeah.
So the first... Was that me? Damn it. That's the second time...
So many, like, digital interruptions as well. That thing was blinking.
So, like, the first line, yeah, it's the way we are. We were smoking by 11 and knocking around town.
Yeah, but is that, like, an 11... AM, PM, or is it 11 years of age? Because I can't actually imagine them smoking by 11 years of age.
I don't know.
Hey, listeners, put Green Meadows, Rochdale into Google Maps. And yeah, well, there's definitely some 11-year-old smoking on there.
There are, but probably not in Wilmslow. At least I hope not.
But I've always taken it as an age, though, because I think like that privilege and they just want to rebel and, like, they've probably got money to buy fags. Yeah,
I thought it was time, but...
Yeah, like 11 a.m. they're already on the weed.
Yeah, getting up and then straight away. Like.
Yeah, smoking the chocolate. Yes.
No, I can see what you're saying.
I love We Were Never Good at Selling, Couldn't Cut Down. Because is that a reference to them selling drugs? As in, like, yeah. we were shit at being dealers because we just smoked
it's gotta be.
Or sniffed our own supply.
Yeah.
It's got to be. But then going back to the We Were Smoking by 11 line, there's, well, the first line of the third verse, so here we are, it's 10:45. I don't know if that makes me think more or less that it's the time they're referring to in the first verse, that is.
That would make me feel like it's more age in the first verse than time in the second.
As like opposing sort of.
Yeah, because he likes to do those sorts of contrasts, doesn't he?
This might be so specific that we need to cut it out.
Then it must
stay. Satan's Hollow at least used to have a free bar. And I remember discussing this with Manny about whether this was we're in the third verse, aren't we? So, but we're skipping about. But pushing in at the bar, you can cry till 11. It's 1:45. Whether that was like a reference to the free bar at Satan's, I don't know why we got on to it.
You know what? You could well be right because these lot would cut a bet in Satan's.
Yeah, I've seen him in Satan's. 100%, yeah.
But that's still a thing, you know, that free bar.
Yeah,
like Tuesday night or Tuesday night or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I reckon that's.
I don't know why it's so specifically came up, but
what's so good about it is there are so many specific references and so many like niche references as well.
Yeah. It's just such it's a GCSE English dream.
And it just the constant unasked question, right? Oh, how's the band going, Matthew? Yeah, so far it's all right. All right, baby. Like, just people who don't know and just think you're just some fucking guy you dropped out after high school and you're just totally going to be meaningless. And he's like, yeah, I think I'm going to be all right.
But
don't worry about me.
It's going well.
But that the answer, like, getting asked that, though, it's such a horrible question to answer, isn't it? Like, what do you say? Yeah, it's all right.
Even at this stage now where he's got global fame, he's probably just like, it's going well, thank you.
Yeah, what would you...
Are you still in that band, Matthew? Do you play the drums? No, I've never... I play the guitar, don't I? I sing sometimes, yeah.
I can't even spell drums. But he's the most drummers. Whee!
Yes, drummers.
It's just a great song to take them from the non-fame era into being famous, but because like the line where it's in speech marks in here, and I think it is meant to be. I used to think you were cool. I believed you had a wonderful vision, but I soon found out you're a terrible friend, and your mother's on the television. Like, he's referencing things that people could take the piss out of him for and say like, "Are you famous because you've got famous like family and stuff?" And he's like calling it all out before the album comes out.
But I think that as well, like. You know, going back to saying that people don't like them because they think they've got the privilege.
Mm.
It's like getting that in early, like referencing that in a song.
Yeah.
It's almost like that is their way of saying like, yeah, I get it. You know, my mum's on Loose Women.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm all right with it.
Yeah.
Because you can imagine that some people like, I don't know, it's like, have you seen Nicolas Cage's son?
No. He's like, oh, yes,
he's like a full-on goth.
Oh, right.
Like, face paint goth, black hair goth.
Yeah.
And how many people do you reckon he tells Nicolas Cage is his dad?
Yeah.
It's almost like he's sort of saying, like, yes, this is who my parents are, but I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
I'm still going to do this.
I like how he breaks totally out of that story as well and takes it back to just being with somebody who doesn't have any pretense with. Gives a go on your bike.
Yeah,
how are you getting
over? Such a good line.
It just like drops straight out of that story, and then all of a sudden there's just no bullshit, and it's like, how's it going then? It's like, yeah, it's alright.
But it's
gives a go on your bike.
In comparison to even like songs on this EP, like Horn Bed, this is the complete opposite end of the spectrum, where this is so conversational, it's so descriptive.
Yeah,
it's not metaphorical at all. Like, gives a go on your bike. How are you getting on with your life? There's no second meaning to that.
No.
Do you know what I mean? That is just something that he said.
Yeah.
To him.
That to me is almost more like rough. than anything. I imagine that would be on a council estate. It's Withenshaw, not Wilmslow, that. Yeah. Because on your bike, you're not going to give me back, though, are you? No, I'm not. You're right.
Can I play? Don't know, mate. It's not my ball.
Yeah, exactly. But it's just got that vibe where it's just very, I don't want to say immature, but well, childish. Mate, yeah. Just go on your bike. No, I'm not going to give you go on my bike.
It's yeah, it's not something that you'd, how old would they be about this point, like sort of early 20s? It's not something
I'm
that you'd imagine.
To the end of 23, is that alright?
Yeah.
Well, is that him or is that?
Yeah, they were that age, yeah.
Oh, right, okay, then yes. But, like, that's, you know, gives a go on your bike is not really something you're saying at 23. Mm. I just like how after sort of, and it comes right after a line about his parents.
Yeah.
As well, it's almost like if you're gonna do a line about the parents, then he goes right back to something he probably would have said in childhood.
Yeah, I see that. Jump into verse 2. He does some stuff here that's like Matt Healy lyric techniques that I'm sure he hasn't invented. But like, so he repeats, "Is that all right?" at the end of two lines, which is similar to when he repeats "Don't you mind?"
Yeah,
in me.
But you said earlier for this EP. It's that thing where he says a line but with a different meaning.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's similar.
It's similar to The City when he's like, he uses cleaning up twice in two totally different meanings. But so he says, coming to the end of 23, and then it's coming to the end of you and me. And it, again, we've talked about all these EPs as like growing up, loss of innocence, people going, getting the degrees and getting jobs, and then it's like, are you not going to get a degree and get a job? Like, is your life okay? It's like, yeah, all right. it's like an answer to all those critics, right, of him. And we're like, oh, come on, Matt, get a proper job.
Yeah.
Fantastic. I'm probably going to headline lead, so okay.
The last lines of the song, I feel like, a fantastic, well, yeah, just the whole second verse. The whole song's great, isn't it? Let's face it. But I love referencing sitting at Pete's house playing video games, doing stuff that you can't afford. But then that going into, I can't be picking up in the town, so get me one of Adam if he's sorting you out. But also, Adam is a term for MDMA. So is this a line of, so get me one off Adam. Adam is the dealer. Or get me one of Adam, as in get me a gram of Adam if he's sorting you out. Ooh, your references.
I did not know that was a term for MDMA.
Yeah, because it's nanogram, isn't it, of MDMA.
I just looked, because the 1975 Deaf Institute gig, all those black and white videos were Pete Eckhart's videos, and he's changed his YouTube name to Adam Gunn. So I don't know why that is, but because I've always liked to think that was the Pete that they were referencing.
And now he's changed him to Adam.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I wonder if it's to get me one off Adam. But and then we get to, I was always looking for a way to get out. It's a reflection on the size of your house, a silver spoon and a zoot in your mouth. Like we say, it's just taking everything that anyone could ever say was negative about him and taking ownership of it and being like,
yeah, that's
I'm good to drop my album now.
That's the theme of the song. It is taking ownership of the negative stuff. But I like as well, I mean, they've used, oh God, what song uses the word zoot? Is I always forget the name of the song.
I can't think.
Give yourself a try.
Where he says zoot in that.
Yeah.
But well, I mean, this is going deep. But zoot is such an uncool word.
Yeah.
Do you know,
I think these things are pretty cyclical though.
Yeah, like, that's what I mean. Yeah. Like, oh right, okay, I'm with you. But I mean, like, it's almost ironically saying it.
Right.
And I think I've seen someone screenshot the line in "Give Yourself a Try," saying like, this is a lyric, this is so cringe, but it's almost like that thing about being in the club, almost like if you've been listening to this band a lot, you know that that line is not completely genuine, you know that it's meant to be slightly ironic that you're using the word zoot, especially because that whole song's about age as well.
I
actually learned what a zoot was from 1975.
Yeah. So you're listening and learning.
That's it, yeah. The more
it's
like you know.
This podcast. I think the best line in the entire, I'm going to the best line in the entire song has to be, you just write about sex and killing yourself and how you hardly ever went to school. Yeah. I mean, that's such a good line.
You get self-referential.
You got sex and me. Are there any songs that are directly about not really going to school much? I wonder if you could like look through like Scary Monsters and that sort of stuff and
yeah,
and maybe there's something in there.
Yeah, I don't think of that.
I like those. I like lines like "Why stay if you hate it so much? You think you're well cool. Like you think you're well cool" is total Manchester phrasing of yeah, how you would yeah, have yeah, that conversation. That's how I would say.
But it's so like it's going back to the how conversational lyrics of yeah, a song are. Like you wouldn't think to put that as a lyric because it's just so like slang.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I always love about Matt. This will be a theme. I'll probably mention it in every podcast. But like, great, you know, really eloquent vocab mixed with "you think you're well cool."
Yeah. Like,
and he does.
And that's the next line. "Your ultimatum's a ridiculous joke." Is that the next line in the song?
It's not. "You just write about sex and killing yourself."
Oh.
Is the next line.
And she was talking marriage, so I had to get out. Now he's making up for it by sleeping about. Oh, "Your ultimatum's a ridiculous joke." I'm sure I've heard him talk about that line and say like about smoking, but I'm going to pick the option that allows me to smoke. So you can hear like these arguments with a girl, right? Or maybe even
Jamie.
I think maybe even like with his mum. No, I think with a girl, right? Because he's out and it's like, why stay if you hate it so much? You think it's well cool? Like she, like maybe one of them wants to go somewhere like more upmarket or something, yeah, and the other one doesn't. Yeah. And you're like, oh, you should stop smoking weed, you know. It's like, oh, I'm going to leave you. And he's like, well, I'm going to pick the option that allows me to smoke, mate. So,
yeah,
Cinnabit.
But I didn't
when
think
Cinnabit turns up in a 1975 song, that's when you know.
You only listen to our podcast. Cinnabit. Nico Blackburn.
Mm.
What does he say in "Is It Sincerely Scary?" Where he says, "someone pied me off, pied you off."
Yeah.
That's not in the song, that's great. I didn't think of that. You think these songs are towards like a girl, but it could be every line that you've said. It could be directed at his parents.
Yeah,
I didn't think of it like that before.
There's a lot of parental themes running through it. Yeah, so they seem really cool though. I just get the impression that his mum and dad probably won't be that arsed if he smoked weed.
But apart from like maybe the you know lyrics about the bar, but like why stay if you hate it so much? You think you're well cool. You know why stay living at home?
Mm.
I think a lot of these lines now, looking back, can be said as either directed at or by his parents.
Yeah. Well, yeah, maybe it's a fuck you to his mum and dad.
Yeah, you could say that your ultimatum's a ridiculous joke and like that sort of. Oh.
You can either live in this house.
Yeah.
Or you can continue to smoke weed and find your own.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, if you like it so much, go to Pete's house.
Yeah.
You will get into debt.
So, last song on this EP.
That was Well Radio DJ, by the way. So, last
Thank
song.
Thank you. I think it's when I go a bit closer to the mic, I feel like I've got to be a bit more professional.
Shit's serious now.
I have to do the housekeeping. BDSM
stuff. Yeah, you are our leader. Like, you are like, right, come on, subject change.
Yeah, because we just go off on
Welcome
we
to the podcast.
All sorts.
Ah, he said something that I don't know what he said.
I just said welcome to the podcast. Yeah, they call it housekeeping on radio, where like you've got to be like, text in 88 to 91. That's radio 2. That's radio 2's text message. 88291.
Ah, right. 88 to 91.
FM.
BBC Radio 2.
So Far It's All Right was released.
Radio 2's good. I know I'm getting old when I know I'm like, you know what, I'm starting to appreciate Radio 2, but I appreciate Radio 4.
I was
going to
say,
more.
Yeah. Oh, I think I don't listen to a lot of radio, you know. I don't think I've aged out of radio. I've probably aged out of Radio 1 by this point.
Radio aged out of you.
Maybe.
You're too young for that shit, bro. It's off.
Right, shall we actually talk about So Far It's Alright?
No, we shouldn't! We've done that one!
No, my God, I'm all with you. Why do I keep saying that?
I think Josh has been drinking.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to be the host of 1975 podcast. I can't get the song names right. Right, what band's this?
My first quibble with this song is...
It's not the dregs of the EP. We won't call it that.
By the way, your snorts keep coming up like so clearly. I've just got headphones on today.
Proper, like, can you see each one like pop on the waveform?
No, we've been so loud the last few minutes, the waves have just spiked up.
Yeah, my first quibble with this song is the lack of spacing in the title.
You don't like that?
Well, I mean, if I'm being truthful, I'm indifferent, but I just wanted to say quibble.
It also allows us to say that, you know, Matthew forced the other guys into an artistic decision to do that, right?
Yeah.
Do you know what? I love this song.
I love it, mate.
I love it.
I could fall in love to this song.
I really love this song. The more it goes on, I like it more.
This song just reminds me of seeing them at Academy One. Me and Dan were at the back. We must have turned up late. We were going, it was going off. It was a banger after banger. We're like, this is the best set they've ever played. Then they played this. I was like, oh.
Do you know what? What year would that have been? Let's have a look. Let's have a look if we can get that set.
Academy One, yeah. Like, because that's Academy, isn't it? There's Academy and then 2, 3.
Yeah, Club.
Club.
But yeah,
I didn't know I'd ever seen
my fond memory of the song is that because it's not one I particularly want to hear live, I just want absolute uplifting vibes. I just went straight to the bar and got a drink in no time. So I was really pleased that I could just leave and come straight back with a drink.
I think I might offend it 2014.
Oh, we need my bike and your enormous
house. Oh my God. Jesus. The City, Milk, Money, So Far It's All Right, Talk, She Way Out, Head Cars Bending, Falling For You.
What a vibe.
An Encounter, Settle Down, Heart Out, Pressure, Me, You, HNSCC, Menswear, Girls, Encore, Robbers, Chocolate, Sex.
Yeah, that would have been it, and I would have gone for another drink during HNSCC.
Wow. Do you know what, though? HNSCC, Menswear, Girls to end the first set. That's a kind of weird. Jesus, though. The City, Milk. So Far It's Alright, Fours. Headcast, oh my God, what a great set. Yeah, I love this song. I feel like they play it live every time I go and see them.
Yeah, so do I. It's not that it's bad, it's just, I just think there's so many other songs they could be filling that 3-4 minutes with.
Yeah, there is, you know, but there's something about this one which feels really authentic again. I think a lot of the lyrics on this album, this EP are, well, they all are, but this one in particular. Musically, it was like, it's like, you know, you can relate it to Me. I think we said last week we put them two in the same category, Me and this. And it's just a slow build with a slow, like, sort of synth, like, pad, whatever. The drums, and then just, like, the low vocal again.
Yeah, again, I think it's totally lyrics first, because I think production-wise, really, wouldn't say much to knock this song up on a pirated copy of Logic, would it? Would it, George? I don't think there's anything too revolutionary in the way it's produced, but I think he's got something to say, and they've created an environment for him to say it, and it's just that chill vibe. I just don't see, if you go out like on a first date and come back and put the song on, I don't see how you don't end up, you know, cuddling and that.
That's all I'm saying.
I tissue down. I think you can tell people's response to this, because obviously they're still playing it live in 2020, nearly 7 years after it was released. But the crowd love it.
Yeah,
the sing, like the sound of people singing along, and especially the big line at the end that I don't want, you know.
Yeah.
What is it?
That is a great crescendo.
I don't wanna be your friend. I wanna kiss you there. Oh God, I'm gonna put my auto tune on that. But yeah, because obviously, like, the music, there's like a break in the music at that point.
Yeah.
And then it's just hilarious, and everyone shouts it, like, cause everyone knows it, doesn't it?
I wanna be your dad.
And be your dog.
I don't. I wanna be your dog.
Oh man, I love this song to me, because it's just about young love, man.
Yeah.
And like, all we need is my bike, right? Which says I don't have a car.
Bike again.
Yeah, it does. It says I don't have a car, and then immediate juxtaposition, media studies students, and your enormous house. Like, all we need is my bike and your enormous house. Like, it's going to swing right round. Your mum and dad are away. Yeah. Things are going down. I've written a song. You're going to love it.
That line, you said someday we might, when I'm closer to your height.
Yeah, I like that.
Because it's short.
So, like, do you know, like, when you've got that, you got that girl who's probably you thought about since you were really young or whatever.
Yeah.
And, like, it's never happened, and you're totally friend-zoned, and then, and I then feel when that you conversation.
Get, yeah, because, like, what, the age difference between, like, I don't know, let's say 14 and 16
is
pretty big. But then the age difference between, like, 22 and 24, for example.
Yeah. He ain't big, though, is he, either, to be fair.
No.
Didn't he mention his height in another song?
Yeah, he probably did.
I think he says it in The Sound.
Neither's Tim, though, is he? We know where he gets it from.
That's true, yeah. Yeah, I can't believe how much I actually like this song, because usually the ones I gravitate to the ones aren't really the sort of traditional love song ones. But I just... Oh, leave me feet.
Oh, God, I'm aching. I've been sat on a hard chair for far too long.
I stood on a spike. Do you want to see it? Yeah.
No. What a great reference. I've pierced my foot on a spike.
We definitely spoke about its production. I said anybody could knock it up on a laptop, and it's just a platform for Matt's lyrics.
It's lack of spacing.
Like, as we've mentioned, lack of spacing.
Yeah.
So it says here that apparently Matt Healy said, "I regret not putting Falling For You on the album because I think that's the best song we've ever written." Now, it's not dated, so I imagine this would have been post-first album.
Well, I hope he never listens to this podcast then.
He listens to your parts.
Yeah. Just a minute. This is the time he goes to the toilet and gets a beer.
Well, what I was trying to reference before, it's in She Way Out, and it's not about his height. It's when she says it's not about your body. It's just social implications. Like, I thought she was saying it's not about your height or something when I was thinking about it. Maybe it is mentioned less. But I like that.
I feel like you just mentioned high at some point.
Yeah. Write in. It's telling us that you're terrible fans, and you should know this if you're doing a podcast.
When I was looking back on the EPs as a whole, I feel like this is the only one which is more of a traditional love song. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Now, what do you think about ending the entire EP cycle with that song?
It's deep. I'm not
even... Felicia.
What's to say the fresh avocado thing again?
Get to Del Taco, they've got free shabaka do.
I love it's called Del Taco.
I've been thinking about that all week, but I've not been able to like think what the thing.
The delivery of it makes it.
Yeah, it does.
Free shabaka do.
Oh my god. Yeah, I was gonna say that I think this song has got something that me, for example, doesn't. I don't quite know how to explain it.
That's not good.
Yeah, because I think this song speaks more to, like you said it before, a traditional pop song, a traditional love song. Like, it's a bit more structured, and you could show it to anybody, and there's nothing they could really, apart from Matt, who could go, "Oh, it's a bit shit." That, like, with me, it's depressing. The like lyrical, like, you can see why somebody might not want to listen to it. But this, why would you not want to listen to this and fall in love with Matt Healy? Either with him or alongside him, we're going for with that. Do you know what I mean?
100%. Let's just look at it. But it goes back to the conversational lyrics again, and it's like the "I read between the lines and touch your leg again." But that is such a good line.
Yes.
Especially when you consider how much Sniffy did then. I've not thought about that.
Nice save. Did,
yeah. I'm looking at the lyrics as She's Way Out now. These are not relevant. Yeah, that whole verse, it's such a little interaction between two people. I remember I was really trying to copy this style when I was like listening to this stuff. You said, "Oh no, it's fine." I read between the lines and touched your leg again. And you're like, when you know, when you first meet people, it's almost like we were talking about with the Super Late Night. When just that, the first moments of falling in love are so like, holy shit, did you want, like, was that okay?
Yeah,
did
yeah.
I touch you like that? And you were, oh shit.
Going back.
Yeah, yeah, and like, oh no, you like me. I love being like so awesome.
I love being like
shit, most people think I like you too. What? I think that's sick. The whole, it's just a little story, that, isn't it?
So I think you get this more in later songs.
Yeah.
But you mentioned about how you think it's one where they got the lyrics first and then they put the music to it.
Yeah.
But I think there's something he does now where they really, they sort of trade in perfect lyrical phrasing for how good of a line it is.
Okay.
And not to the detriment of the song, I think it fits really well. It's like in People, for example, the line before it goes into the chorus, the I don't like going outside, so bring me everything here. That's a good line. It's a good lyrics. But I don't think the phrasing of that line fits in perfectly.
Yeah.
No.
And I think the signs here that they're starting to do it with the, do you fancy sitting down with me? Maybe. It's almost like that's been sort of kind of like tacked on the end, but it's good because it creates, it's almost like not spoken word, but it's so, because it's such a soft song and the way it's delivered is so soft. A word coming out of the phrasing of the lyric, I think, is really effective in the setting that they're trying to create, especially in this verse when they're trying to, you know, he's trying to describe a situation of literally someone sitting down next to him in a smoking area.
Yeah. It is beautified.
All right, has anyone else got anything to say about this song? Because I think we should talk about just the EPs as a whole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, that is, well, it's every song, every exclusive song to the EP.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can think of it as like the EP era, so like the 2012 to 2013. So yeah, just thoughts on the EP era as a whole.
I feel like it's the EP era. Sorry for the cough. Anyway, it's for the more committed fans, isn't it? Which isn't something exclusive to the 1975. That you can apply that to any band, even S Club 7. The EPs. The singles, they're for the real fans, where they just go a bit more left field. But I don't really feel like there is much difference between the standout EP singles and the album tracks.
Yeah.
I think they're all very much of a similar standard.
I don't know, I think they are still a little bit different. Maybe there's a couple that could have gone on there, like, but I don't think you would have fitted in with the album as much.
Don't you? I think, it's interesting.
Just, if you think that album was like a piece of standalone art, like, it is what they wanted it to be. They said they wanted it to be like a John Hughes film soundtrack.
Yeah.
So, and it does, it flows like that. It's great. I don't know what, maybe if stuff was reproduced though in that way, I think that gets forgotten a lot when you talk about what a song is. Like, you can totally make it a different thing with the same lyrics and melody with a totally different production style. So,
yeah.
Maybe. But I think the EPs were just a genius way to approach this band that could have been too intense, releasing those, you know, two or three big songs, Sex Chocolate, City, Upfront, and Robbers as well.
Yeah.
Like, and they purposely decided not to, and I just think it was marketing genius by Dirty Hit.
Yeah, Robbers off, especially.
All on Red, yeah. Holding off on it for so long. When, you know, people knew about it, really, and it was, everyone wanted it, and it's, you just couldn't get your hands on it, and it was great.
I think it's weird because usually, you know, when bands first start, they record like a demo EP, then it steps up and up and up until they finally, you know, make that album.
Yeah,
I think they knew from the start they were going to make an album. and the EPs don't—they don't act in the linear way that they usually do for bands. They act as like an introduction to this band.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. It, they've not built up to it, have they? Like I said, the album was a given. They knew that was coming.
And they worked back from there.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's like their build up was, you know, the times they spent with different band names, releasing them songs and deleting them off MySpace again. That was almost in the place of like a normal band's EP.
Yeah.
And this was all, it was like, it's like a prequel to the album.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, you know, not a palate cleanser, but it's sort of like, it's saying like, right, okay, this is what this band's about now.
Yeah. I think that's why so far it's all right. It's a great, it's not the last song, but it's so important as a way to say, we're doing the album now. We're transitioning from people, like some kids from Wilmslow into a band, and this is happening.
Yeah.
And it's here's our answer. Yeah. Here's our answer to your silly questions about it.
What order do you think they were written in? Do you think, I know we've kind of covered this, but if you were to put the songs written in chronological order, they probably wouldn't appear chronologically on the EPs, would they?
No, I think Face Down, I think that was written first.
Yeah.
Because I think that stands out so different to the...
Yeah, I feel like it's very try-hard. It's like, this is the sound we want, and then they might have relaxed a bit by the time it got to releasing Sex.
Yeah.
I think the last three, I think they were written all together. As in, not all together, but in the same... I don't think it was written EP1, EP2, EP3.
Mm.
I think it was Face Down was first, and then they wrote all the songs that then were split over the rest, obviously, apart from like Sex and stuff. I would say, I think stuff like You, So Far It's Alright, Milk, I think songs like that would have been written closer to the end.
Yeah.
Because I think they'd refined the craft more.
Yeah.
Whereas stuff like perhaps Undo, Haunted, Intro Set 3, they feel more like them. It's that's still the experimental phase.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you can split the EP songs into three categories, you've got Face Down, which is on Face Down EP, which is on its own, experimental phase with them, you know, sort of creating music on MacBooks, and then you've got the end where it's like, right, here are just some like fully formed songs we're putting out. Stuff, maybe stuff that they thought, does this quite, maybe written for the album, but it doesn't quite fit on the album, so let's release it now.
I agree. Yeah, it's like an outlet, isn't it, for songs that might have fallen by the wayside due to like the intentions and what they were planning on doing with the album. And God, they didn't. It's a good idea, and it was a great introduction. And the tease over months for like it was. It was genius, and like so we said right at the start of doing this podcast, he learned the lessons from when he was managing One Night Only, and he let that song just blow up and get daytime radio on play for a few weeks, and that was it forever. And he's like, never again.
Just for tonight.
So that is the four EPs done. I can't believe we've made it this far.
I know. Yeah, it does. It already feels weird looking back, but I'll get nostalgic about stuff I've not even done yet. So.
That first episode does feel like, it feels like ages ago.
Yeah.
I feel like we've all progressed as well as podcasters.
One mic, like, it took about half an hour to finally set up that one mic to get it working.
We need to sort the sellotape situation out.
Don't tell the listeners about the sellotape.
There is no sellotape.
there is no spoon. I think it's going well, gentlemen.
Well, the fans will tell us that when they email in. The millions and millions of fans listening to our podcast right now, they'll email in and tell us we are wrong.
We will be wrong a lot, I think, especially because the fans are so into it, aren't they? Look at like everyone who corrects Matt all the time and stuff, and you're like, oh.
Yeah.
We are not super fans.
We just love it.
Yeah.
We were just there first.
But do you know...
and don't forget that.
Yeah, we were just there before you.
Do you know that? Do you want a podcast of people just like running off like fact after fact after fact about the songs? No,
we're just chatting shit.
You want more of a conversation about
it. How's it make you feel? Where were you? What was it like? Who were you with? That's the shit right
now. Right, so if you want to get in touch, we have Twitter. So we're at Pause It Play It Pod, or the 1975 Pod on Twitter. You can email us at pauseitplayitpod@gmail.com. If you've got stories of when you've met the band, how you first discovered the band, send them in and we'll read them out on the podcast. Or if you've got anything else to ask us or any other stories you want to share, we'll definitely read them out. We'll try not to these episodes to go for too long, although we have been at Dan's house 4.5 hours now. Right, so thank you for listening. The next episode is going to be the 1975 song on the album The 1975 by the band The 1975, which we're going to do to talk about the album as a whole, sort of what we think went into making the album, and then we're going to get into it song by song after that. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Cheers. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
If you tolerate this, then your children will be next.